In April 2014, more than 270 Nigerian girls were abducted from their school in Chibok in northern Nigeria. The kidnapping provoked worldwide reaction, including from First Lady Michelle Obama, who had this to say the following month.
Like millions of people across the globe, my husband and I are outraged and heartbroken over the kidnapping of more than 200 Nigerian girls from their school dormitory in the middle of the night.
But what happened to those girls? Some managed to escape right away. 21 were released in October 2016, and in May of 2017, 82 more were released. Their story is told in the new HBO documentary Stolen Daughters, Kidnapped by Boko Haram. It airs on HBO tonight. And joining us now is writer-producer Karen Edwards. Welcome.
Hi.
And producer Sasha Akili is with us as well. Hi, Sasha.
Hi, Jeremy. Thank you.
So the girls that we first meet in your documentary are the ones who were released by Boko Haram. They're living in a compound apart from their families. And their captivity was the one thing the government didn't want you to ask about, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was part of the condition of the access. We obviously secured the access with the government's consent. It was the only way to do it. But they were adamant that we shouldn't speak to the girls about what had happened to them during the 3 years that they were held by Boko Haram.
Why? Yeah.
Partly, they were, you know, the government is keen that they control the narrative. But also, the girls were released in May. We started filming with them in that government safe house in early July. So it was, they had only been out of captivity for about 6 weeks. So it was quite raw. They were still processing what had happened to them. So that was part of it. It wasn't for us. We're not counsellors to push them into reliving and telling us what had happened, though we tried to give them the platform and the space to if they wished to. But equally, any time we were alone with the girls, the government minders and security shut them down quite quickly. Mm-hmm. So it's twofold. I think the government also wanted to manage how the rest of the world and Nigeria see the girls' time in captivity, because they were held for 3 years before a negotiation was done and they were released.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do we know about their time in captivity and what it was like?
Well, they though they weren't free to speak to us, they did give us their diaries discreetly. And they kind of make it clear that life wasn't good, that they were forced to marry. If not, they would have what they called the full Boko Haram treatment. And in the film, what we do is the Chibok girls who were taken were actually just the tip of the iceberg. There are thousands of girls in Nigeria who were taken by Boko Haram who are free to speak, and they do tell us what the Boko Haram treatment is. So through their testimony, we get a sense of what happened for the Chibok girls as well.
So, Sasha, let me bring you in because, the idea that they were forced to marry. There's one girl in your film who was married, had a kid with somebody from Boko Haram. And it's sort of difficult to tell the emotions that she's dealing with this kid. She says, I still love my son. He's my baby, but he's even though he's a Boko Haram baby.
Yeah. So what we were told by a lot of the girls that we interviewed who are not all in the film is that you kind of had two options in the forest. Either you marry a soldier or you become a slave. And if you're a slave, then, you know, life is much harder. So it's a question of kind of survival. And in a way, even if you end up marrying a soldier, the girls felt like they, you know, were raped and were forced to be their wives. So she, you know, as she says, I was 2 months pregnant when I ran away. And when we first met her, like, she did tell us, I don't love my baby as much as I love the two little boys. My baby reminds me of what happened to me.
Now, you mentioned the boys. We see these two boys in the film who actually were kidnapped as well and ended up being made into child soldiers.
Yeah, so one of the untold stories is the number of boys and men who have disappeared, who've either been kidnapped or killed during this war. So Boko Haram has been kidnapping children, but also older men, and some of them are forced to pick up arms and fight. And then when the military engage with Boko Haram and they try to take back territory, they will kill and arrest people who look like soldiers. And so a lot of men have been killed in this fight, in the process mm-hmm. of trying to eradicate Boko Haram.
It's kind of amazing watching how terrible this situation is. And as you report, so many people have not been kidnapped, but they've just fled their towns out of fear of Boko Haram. They're living in these tent camps. That this isn't getting more attention globally.
Yeah, it's astonishing. I think all the focus has been on Syria. And yet the famine in the northeast of Nigeria is just terrible. It's very widespread and high level. And they are all running to towns and these, they call them IDP camps, internally displaced people. And that's where they have to run to because Boko Haram, you know, they don't just kidnap, they then burn and destroy villages. And it's mm-hmm. just not safe to live up there anymore. Even though places like Maiduguri, which is kind of one of the main towns, it's incredibly dangerous, but also it's safety by numbers. And that's where the food aid is going to. So you if you want food and you want to live, that's where you have to run.
And there are camps, but then a lot of the internally displaced people end up living within the host community. So despite the fact that the host there is some fear towards people who have escaped Boko Haram, but they've also been incredibly welcoming to the number of displaced people who have come to Maiduguri.
Well, let's talk about that. The people who have managed to escape from captivity by Boko Haram, they try to go back into society, and everybody thinks that they're somebody that they should be suspicious of.
Yeah, I mean, Maiduguri isn't a kind of normal frontline war zone. It's controlled. It's militarized. It's controlled by the Nigerian military. And there are constant infiltrations of suicide bombers who come into the city. So when we were there, like the second to last night, it happened to be the end of Ramadan. There were 6 suicide attacks in one night. And you just never know who to trust because Boko Haram uses mostly young women as suicide bombers. They strap them up and send them, you know, towards checkpoints where they manage to make it into bits of the city. And so there is a lot of fear because unlike a kind of normal frontline war zone, you just don't know where the threat is coming from and where and when. So there's a lot of mistrust.
What about the girls who are now out of captivity and looking to the future and trying to have a hopeful future? The government is making it possible for some to attend college, including some who managed to escape. Let's listen to one of them from your film.
I seen my identity as a hero. I'm not the person who is here because everything has been changed about my life. Now all I can is speak good English. I'm able to read, even write. I can write clearly. I have changed a lot.
Do you see a bright future for some of these girls?
Yes. I think for the Chibok girls who are in AUN.
That's the American University of Nigeria.
That's the American University of Nigeria, which is where all the Chibok girls who were released and negotiated for, and the escaped girls who, on the night that the kidnapping happened, so 276 were kidnapped, 57 of them, during the long journey on the back of trucks to Sambisa Forest, kind of jumped off the back. And half of those have gone straight to this university in Yola. And that's where they've been for the last 3 years. And they feel positive about life. And so the Chibok girls, who have only just started, they've done a year at this university, we keep in contact with them. And they say they're doing well. Their education is coming on. And I think they realize what a privilege. Education is so precious and rare in Nigeria. And these Chibok girls are getting a really great education, paid for by the Nigerian government, and I think then they value it.
I just want to end this conversation by asking you about those who are still in captivity. There are still a lot of girls that are still in captivity by Boko Haram.
Yeah, there are. And despite the efforts of the Nigerian government to try and defeat Boko Haram, they still keep raiding villages, kidnapping girls. And I don't see an end to it really anytime soon. And now, you know, next year there's going to be an election, so we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, I mean, the only hope for a lot of these women is to be able to run away. But some women, you know, we know of some of the Chibok girls who are still in captivity who probably won't come back out because they've bought into the idea and they're married. And we know that they don't want to leave. Mm-hmm. And so some of them don't. Some of them prefer their life with Boko Haram.
That is Sasha Akili, the producer, along with writer-producer Karen Edwards of the new HBO documentary Stolen Daughters, Kidnapped by Boko Haram. It airs on HBO tonight. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.